Go ahead.
So when the hides come to the leather factories, they're coming from slaughterhouses, and they still have meat and hair and various, and just plain junk, garbage on them. And they stink, and they smell. And so, you know, when they come in, there's these car train loads of hides. And they would, the first place they go to in the leather factory, which was one of my jobs, was to the fleshing site, or it's stripping, it's called. And there, they're soaked in a salt brine to soften them a little bit. And then they would be thrown on a grinding machine, which had rollers that would grind off the hair and the meat and the various other junk down to a certain tolerance. I think it was like an eighth or a quarter of an inch thickness. And so I remember the first day I started working at A.C. Lawrence, very well-built building. They had this to get to the place, though, where the hides first came in, it was in the basement. And so you went to this spiral staircase, and there was steam rising up from the bowels of the factory. It looked like you were descending into Dante's Inferno, entering a new level. And you went down, and the steam came up, and the smell came up from the bottom of the factory. And you would go down there, and the people would be, you know, it would be hot, and the people would be laboring with these heavy, heavy, you know, water-soaked hides, you know, tons of them, to, you know, to go as fast as they can. Because, of course, they were doing piecework, which meant that they were paid, in part, they had a base salary, but they also really made much of what they earned, the extra money, from the number of pieces that they did in their work. So speed was of the essence. Many people, we had safeguards, these little, they were devices that were like gloves with ropes tied to them, or wires. And so when the grinders closed down, they would pull your hands back so your hands didn't get caught in the grinders. Most people didn't like these because they would slow down your production. So they usually didn't use them, even when they came in hungover from the night before. Many people lost hands or limbs in the various machines, the presses, the other machines there. There's a lot of this that went on. I knew one friend of mine that his grandfather lost both his arms up above the elbows in the factories, the leather factories. And he was a well-known local figure. He spoke only Portuguese. But he was able to make his living and get by out of the grace of the Peabody community. And the way this happened was he became a kind of a low-level bookmaker. And people just had pity on him. Because what else could the poor man do to make a living? So the police would look the other way when he was... And, of course, they, you know, didn't always even understand what he was saying in Portuguese anyways. And you have these little slips of paper and such. And he never made much money off of it. And people used to do business with him, I think, because they felt sorry for the guy. And that was, you know, that was his that's the way he made his living for many, many years.
So what was Peabody like as a city back then? What was it like for you to grow up in Peabody at that time?
Well, it was a lot smaller than it is today. And the population was about 25,000 when I was young. Now it's, I'm sure, well, when I last checked, which was decades ago, it was up over 50. I'm sure it's gone higher still. Mm-hmm. They seem to build on everything. The building codes are a little not unstringent, or they've been tightened a bit. But you could do almost any kind of building in Peabody. Mm-hmm. And so it had a low tax rate, and people built a lot of houses because people wanted to live here. And so they used to have, when I was growing up, there were farms in West Peabody. People would hunt deer out there, a lot more woods. There were a lot of woods now around my house, which are much of which has now become housing projects in areas I never thought they could build on. And we had a stone quarry up the hill opposite our house, and it was like, you know, rock ledge, really, granite, and a lot of erratic boulders and stuff. And I'm amazed at the amount of effort people go to build on which is essentially unbuildable land, because there's money to be made. And the price of the houses are much, much higher. In those days, it was not that expensive.